Welcome to another edition of the Exponential Podcast. I'm Todd Wilson, Director of Exponential. We're thrilled you're taking advantage of this free resource that was recorded at the Exponential Conference. It's part of a library of hundreds of hours of free training. In our mission to equip church planning leaders, we seek to distribute as many free resources as possible. Visit exponential.org to learn more and to check out the programming for the upcoming Exponential Conference.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Dave Rhodes again, just in case it's your first time in this track, so to speak. We've been in a series just looking at our life call, and so I know some of you have been here the whole way, others of you just coming to the first one today, and that's fine. There'll be room for you to play no matter where you're at, all right, in that. But just by way of background, in case you don't know what Unique is, Unique is a personal vision and life planning process, breakthrough life planning process for the church, through the church, to release the church. In other words, what we want to help the church with today is to help create leaders who can create processes that allow ordinary people to be able to identify their life call, their life core, their life steps, and their life score. We call that the personal vision frame. So over here, you take a look at this. What the Unique process tries to walk people through is to create a personal vision frame for their life that helps them articulate their life sense of calling in a concise and precise way, their life core four values, what is it that is at the center of who they are. Taking that life and that life core, we begin to create our life steps or strategies that then manifest in our life score. How do you know whether you've won with your life? So we help build out that vision frame process. And as you build out the vision frame, then it allows you to create a vision of the future. So a little picture of the mountains and the pathway. And after you build out your vision frame, the life planning piece of it helps you begin to see your life inside of four different horizons. So every time you look at a picture, you see four different horizons at the same time. You see this kind of beyond the horizon moment, which would be this piece right here. You see the background, which would be the mountains right here. You see the midground, which is kind of the center of the picture. And then you see the foreground, which would be that sign that's standing out. And every time you see a picture, your life sees those different four horizons. Well, the life planning process of this takes the vision frame that you put together and says, okay, how can we begin to see the future in all four of these horizons? So the beyond the horizon is, how do you articulate the three-year vision in one statement that is inspiring and captivating? The background is, how do we capture that three-year vision in four 1-year objectives that give you four things to shoot for throughout the year? Then the midground, we go back to one again and say, what's the one 90-day goal? That is the linchpin goal that you need to accomplish in the next 90 days. And then the foreground is, okay, what do I need to do in the next week to begin to work on that kind of thing? So it's not only 30,000 foot, here's life purpose for your life. It's, hey, this week, what am I working on in regard to that to make that kind of thing pop? So for those of you that haven't been here, just wanted to give a quick overview of what we're doing. And we're doing that because we believe biblically in the power of words. Let me illustrate this through an illustration, then we'll do some biblical stuff with it, and then we'll jump into what we're doing today. But legend tells us that Ernest Hemingway, the great American writer, was walking down the road one day when all of a sudden a woman came up to him with a challenge. She challenged him to see if he could write a compelling story in six words. Six words. Hemingway took the challenge, went back to his home, emerged a little while later with this six-word story. For sale, baby's shoes never worn. For sale, baby's shoes never worn. With those six words, Hemingway stirred our emotions and stoked our imaginations to think that so much could be said with so few words. That challenge has been passed on throughout the years where people have tried to tell their own story in six words. What's your six-word story? How would you describe yourself in six words? There's actually a whole book that talks about this. It's got a six-word title. Not quite what I was planning. It's the name of the book, but it's just a series of people who are just telling their six-word stories. But with that, it just reminds us of how much can be articulated in such few words. And this is our story as Christians. I mean, we're the ones who believe that in the middle of the nothingness, God began to speak. And as God began to speak, everything that's beautiful was created. Literally, the story of Genesis chapter 1 is that words create worlds. Words create worlds. That it's the language that we speak that creates the world that we live in, which is why when we talk about what it means to be a leader, we say that leaders create culture, and the way that leaders create culture is the language that we speak. Well, the life calling process is really about self-leadership. It's about how do I find the kinds of words that release life, that create worlds. Many of you, or some of you may know my past work before I was here with Unique and with the 100M team. I was U.S. team leader at 3DM, which was helping churches create discipling cultures and missional communities. And inside of creating a discipling culture, whenever I'm discipling people, I would suggest to you that the number one and most empowering thing that you can do for anyone that you're discipling is to help them hear the voice of God for themselves. That moment, the hinge moment of discipleship, is the first moment someone hears God's voice for themselves. Well, if I could back that moment up, so if the primary, you know, hinge moment in discipleship is for someone to hear the voice of God or hear the words of God for themselves, if I could back that up with a secondary moment, the secondary moment might be, I'm becoming more and more convinced of it, the secondary moment is helping people find words. Not just hear words from God, but helping people find words to talk about their life. As someone who's invested thousands of hours in helping lots of different churches and cultures create discipling cultures, here's what I've just noticed. I've noticed at the first and second level of most churches, you can go straight in with the discipleship tools because people have an intuitive sense of their life call. Even if they can't articulate it and they need some help there, there's an intuitive sense of what they're called to do. At the third and fourth generations of churches, oftentimes there's no intuitive sense of a sense of calling. And so you start giving them discipleship tools and they don't know what to do with it. And so as a pastor at a local church in Atlanta, I'm having so much fun with this process, just leading, you know, ordinary people through. I'm sitting, you know, with a guy who's driving a bus and I'm hearing him articulate who he is and be able to find purpose, and now it changes the way that he drives a bus and changes what he's moving toward. And for me, that's an important part of the discipleship process. So all that's kind of preamble into today, because if you've been with us, you know the first part of the journey that we've been working on, even in this track, is how do we declare our life call and how do we declare our life core. And the way that we've gone about that is to really take a journey through understanding our narrative, our name, and our 9-to-5. Our name, our narrative, and our 9-to-5. Narrative means, you know, how do you not just experience your story, but how do you interpret your story? What I find is a lot of people have experienced their story. Very few people have interpreted their story. And even fewer people who have interpreted a story know how to articulate their story. So I can look at my life story in light of my life discovery grid, which is a tool we gave you a couple sessions ago. If you're new here, if you look on the back of your sheet of paper, there's a place that you can go to download some of these tools that we're talking about. But in the life discovery grid, it helps you break your narrative down into chapters so that I can tell you my entire story by telling you my chapters of addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and now anticipating exponential. That's the way that I begin to tell my story. Addition was years 1 through 12, where just felt like we had an oikos, four families that we did life with, had lots of friends. My dad was a teacher at a college, university. It was incredible. Just felt like more and more was being added to us. At 12, my dad got a call to go to Rockledge, Florida, near Cocoa Beach, and be part of a church. The church was 30 people. My brother and I were part, we're the youth group. Our uncle was the youth minister. I don't know if you're familiar with that kind of thing. And so that was it. We had no kids on our street. Soccer was a huge part of my life. Got a scholarship in those years from 12 to 23. But then also went through two knee surgeries and saw that dream die. So 12 to 23, I just describe as subtraction. 23 to 35 were years of multiplication. We started a company called Wayfarer. Got married during that time. We had kids. We saw God do some expansive things in our ministry. It's just really a multiplication kind of segment of life. And then at 35, went through two, in the next 5 years, went through two major covenantal breakdowns where we just saw ministry things that we thought were going to be there forever, not be there forever, and different relationships, and felt like a division kind of moment. The last few years have been stepping into an exponential with all the lessons that have learned in the middle of that. So the Life Discovery Grid helps you just begin to be able to tell your story in a concise and significant way. The Life Drifts Grid helps you begin to identify what are the kinds of things that want to sabotage my story. Because a lot of us, have experienced our story. The question is, have you interpreted it? Have you learned from it? Have you articulated it? Do you know where your story is moving? Can you detect the fingerprints of God on it? Can you see and identify life patterns? Because maturity for us as believers is about recognition and recovery rate. It's about recognizing life patterns and being able to get into them or get out of them effectively. And then it's about recovery rate. When we mess up, does it knock you off grid for 6 years or 6 seconds? There's a big difference between those two things, right? So that's the whole narrative piece that we did a couple sessions ago. The last session we did was name. And name is what we talk about with your physical name, but also with all the stuff that's been given to you that you didn't earn in any kind of way. So it is your physical name. Biblically, you'd be surprised, that what we learn biblically is we shouldn't be surprised when we become what people call us. Important piece, you see biblically so many people, you interpret their name and you see their life story. And that biblically there's two kinds of things. There's people who need a name change, and there's people who need to live up to the name that they've been called. And same thing with us. You'd be surprised. We help you do research on your name, and you'd be surprised how many times people find something significant in their name that just helps them see, I can't believe I've become that. My name, David Gene Rhodes Jr. David means beloved. Gene means nobleman. Rhodes means makes a clearing in the woods. And I just remember looking at that thinking, how did that happen? That's what I do as a coach and consultant. I make a clearing in the woods for people, and hopefully, I do it as a beloved nobleman. Now, it's not always a one-to-one kind of thing like that, but you'd be surprised how many times. But it's not just your physical name. It's also, things like your personality. You take a personality test from Myers-Briggs, and it says you're an INTP. Well, that's a kind of naming kind of piece. You take an APEST survey, and it gives you, you're prophetic, apostolic. Those are names. Or you're a teacher, or you're a shepherd, or different things like that. You've had other people speak significant names into your life. So that's all the naming piece. And today, we want to go a little bit further and talk about 9 to 5 and then begin to put those things together in a tool that we call the sweet spot tool. So the tool that you've been handed out that we're just going to work a little bit with talks about, your context, your ability, and your passion. But our first move through this sweet spot tool that will continue to come back to all your life has been name stuff in regard to the passion, meaning most of your passions come out of the experiences of your story, both positive and negative. Your positive experiences build your confidence. Your negative experiences deepen your convictions. That oftentimes the most greatest passion that you have comes out of your name. Now we have another tool that helps you begin to identify this, where we funnel things from interest to passions to burdens. All that's in here. Some people always want to know, what's the difference between a passion and a burden? Here's the way I define it. A passion is what gets you up in the morning. A burden is what keeps you up at night. A passion is what gets you up in the morning. A burden is what keeps you up at night. What are the things that get you up in the morning that just have a sense of, I want to be about that? And what are the things that you can't shake off your mind as you go to sleep that just grab your attention? So inside of the sweet spot tool, the name inventory, the narrative, wrote that down wrong. The narrative inventories and tools that we give you help you begin to identify those passions. In regard to ability, the inventories like strengths finders and the insights tool that we use for personality and several other inventories and assessments, the APEST, go into that because it's just about us articulating this kind of innate ability or gifting that is part of who we are, as well as our personal names. And in regard to context, this is where we talk about our 9-to-5, not exactly just about what you do, but about how you do what you do. So inside of the context circle, we're helping you identify things like your motives and modes, your work style, your organizational preferences. What are the places that you enjoy working? What are the size teams and groups that you enjoy working with? That's going to all determine your context. So just a little bit of teaching here, and then I want to get to an exercise that we're going to do together in regard to bringing this whole thing together that will help you begin to identify your life call. So just think through this, and you can make notes as you're thinking through this. I'm just going to give you some thoughts to think through in regard to identifying your context. In regard to your modes and motives, in regard to your motives, which one of these four things really, really hits you? Are you a contribution person? In other words, are you someone who wants to be part of a team and make contribution? Are you a presentation person? Are you someone who does a good job of presenting? Doesn't mean that you're a speaker necessarily, but you're a presenting in to people kind of thing, sometimes even a connecting person in that way. Are you a leadership primary, leadership secondary? Leadership primary would be, are you a directive leader kind of person? Or are you leadership secondary, meaning a second chair kind of leader that you love to be next to a primary leader, and you demonstrate your leadership through that kind of secondary role? So just out of those four things, which is the one that is a motivational kind of thing for you? Just jot that down real quick. Again, this is going to help you just determine some of your context. Yeah. Leadership primary, leadership secondary. So leadership primary is a directive kind of leader. Leadership secondary is someone who wants to be next to that kind of leader and leads through secondary kind of services. So demonstrate. Yeah, which one motivates you? Yep. Which one motivates you most? Like which one do you find yourself connecting with the most of those four things? Second one is in regard to your modes. What do you work best with? Do you work best with things? In other words, do you walk into a room and you see a bookshelf that needs to be put together, and you just know how to do it, or you just, you know, work with a car, you know, whatever it is, you work well with things. You just know how to put a table together. That is not me, by the way. That is my wife. If a light bulb needs replacing, it's my wife who knows how to do it in our house. You know, I'm so thankful. I feel a little unmanly about that, but, you know, I'm getting over that a little bit. Is it things? Is it people? Some people are people. Or is it ideas? What engages you most? Things, people, or ideas? What do you find yourself gravitating to, working best with? In regard to work style, a couple things here. In regard to your decisions, do you like, when it comes to decisions, to make the decision or advise people on decisions? More. in regard to pace? Do you like a predictable schedule or do you like a variable schedule? Would you like to do something a little bit different every single day, or do you want a very, you know, structured kind of day where you know what to expect every time that you come to the office? Same thing in regard to schedule, flexible or structured. You can just, we're just giving you an opportunity to make some decisions around that, just to learn more about the context in which you thrive in. In regard to receiving information, reading or listening, which impacts you more? Just stuff that you read, or would you rather listen to something? There's no right or wrong answer. It's not a trick assessment. It's just helping you ask questions to think about the context in which you might thrive. In regard to reporting information, do you like to write or do you like to speak? My wife loves email. I hate email. I would rather pick up the phone and just quickly call someone than to write an email. My wife would 5 times more love to send an email than pick up a phone and call somebody.
You know what's interesting? Because like, I like to teach, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
So it depends on delivery method.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a small workflow. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Just again, this is just helping you think through the context in which you'll thrive. In regard to organizational preferences, which one of these 5 places would you like to work the most? Are you a solo kind of technician, like a 1 to 2 people kind of person? Are you a small platoon, meaning like that you like to work in a small team of 4 to 12 people? Or is it more of a small family of 4 to 25 people? Or are you a medium-sized company, 25 to 200 people? Or are you large, 200 people plus? What's the size of the organization that you function best in? In regard to organizational preferences, just quick inventory on the organizational stage. 4 options. Are you entrepreneurial, meaning do you like to get things off the ground? Do you like being part of the growing stage, so something that's off the ground, you can come and give focus and help to create growth? Are you a kind of stabilizing person, meaning that you like to take a system and keep it going, or you like to settle that ground in that certain kind of way? Or are you a turnaround person? Do you like to take something that is failing and turn that around? Again, no right or wrong. We're just giving you a series of questions to just begin to identify the how you work. That's the organizational stage. Growing. So entrepreneurial, growing, stable, or turnaround. All right, and last thing here, again, we're just giving you a quick dive. We do a lot more work in this when you're going through the cohorts with us on this. But organizational mode, are you independent virtual, meaning you like to just kind of be by yourself and then virtually connect with people? Or are you social virtual, meaning that you can be in separate places and work, but you can still do that virtually. You can connect virtually and do that. So do you like virtual team kind of piece? Are you independent workplace, meaning you want to go somewhere to work, but you're probably just going to be doing your own thing for most of it? Or are you social workplace? You want to be in a workplace where things are popping and moving kind of thing. Again, that's just a little bit on helping you think about context. Now, here's the exercise that I want to bring some of this stuff together with, because the exercise that we do to help you begin to start naming calling is to take those 3 things and to begin to say, where is the spot that your context, ability, and passion, what's the spot that those things really come together on? As you've taken inventories and assessments. You've looked at your narrative. You looked at your names. You've begun to think about what the 9-to-5 context is in which those things happen best in. The one thing, piece of what we do, is about beginning to bring synthesis to all of that stuff that you've inventoried and assessed, and now you've interpreted a bit, and we're going to move from interpretation to articulation. So here's the exercise this morning that we want you to begin to take a few minutes to be part of, all right? So you can fill this out on the back of your paper where you're going to put your name. I'll put my name up here. Don't put my name on your paper. You just put your name, all right? Dave Rhodes exists to honor God and help others by and then you have a blank with an ing on it and then another blank. All right, so Dave Rhodes exists to honor God and help others by blanking blank. So the first word has to be an ing word. The second word doesn't have to be an ing word. Again, it's just a process to help you bring singularity to all of these things. And by the way, the thing I love about the Sweet Spot tool is that you never get done with it. So if you take another assessment, you know, in regard to maybe emotional intelligence, well, you know that goes in your names or your ability category right here. So no matter what new thing you come across, it's going to fit into one of these categories, which means that you don't have to go back to the drawing board every time you come across a new assessment. We're creating an inventory inside of the Sweet Spot tool that continues to grow. But what we don't want to just do is create complexity in that inventory. What we want to be able to do is use that complexity to come to radical simplicity, to come to, you know, a two-word statement that begins to describe what it is that you've been put on this planet to do. So, in regard to that, Dave Rhodes exists to honor God and help others by blanking blank. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take about the next 10 or 15 minutes, and actually, we'll just do 10 minutes. I want you to take 10 minutes, and I want you to come up with at least 25 different options. Now, when I'm coaching normal people through it, I tell them they have to come up with 250 different options. And it seems like a lot, but it's not that bad, all right? Here's why it's not that bad. Because you're going to start with an idea, and then you can go to the thesaurus, and you can begin to look up what are the nuanced ideas that go along with that. So you might say, well, leading people. Well, we're really trying to get a little more specific than that. See, we don't want just simply generic or general kind of stuff. We also don't want, you know, too specific. We're looking for that kind of middle ground. So you might say, well, how do you mean leading? Do you mean inspiring? Do you mean, you know, releasing? Do you mean, I mean, what is it that you mean when you say leading? So you go to the source, you look up leading, you're going to get a million different kind of ideas. And you say, people, well, what about people? So for me, just as an example, and these words, by the way, are not your sexy words. They're not the sexy words of your life calling. This is about crystal clear clarity for you. You're never going to tell someone who hasn't been through this process probably your two words. I never tell people my two words. Because it's not for them, it's for me. When I talk to people, I take the two words, and we're going to mature this exercise into another exercise that'll help you mature your two words into 6 or 12 words that help you articulate your life. So just a little example for you in my life. My two words are Dave Rhodes exists to honor God and help others by fostering congruence. In other words, for me, again, this is not the sexy language. No one, if I sat it down at a table, it would be like, I have no idea what you're talking about, right? But it's crystal clear for me because here's what's at the core of me. I want to help people be constantly changing and never random. That's what congruence is all about. It's about finding the defining pattern and being able to go into any context and help them create not the same thing, but the congruent thing. So lots of organizations or people get stuck either doing the same thing or doing the random thing. Most people who are afraid of change, I think, are really afraid of random. And so how do we help people and organizations do the congruent kind of thing? Because if you just do what you were doing 50 years ago, you're not doing the same thing. The denominator, I mean, it's changed. The time has changed. So if you're just doing the same thing, you're not really doing the same thing. You're doing the diminished thing. So for me, it's all about congruence. And fostering, you know, this is about helping pieces get connected and put back together. So fostering, my family adopted a little boy from Haiti. So there's a sense in my narrative that we're taking pieces that aren't necessarily natural to us, but we're putting those things together and working those things out and finding congruence in that. So everything I do, I can filter through these two words. When I'm preaching, people love my illustrations for the most part. That's what they really resonate with. Why is that? Because that's where I'm fostering congruence. I'm taking the text, I'm taking our world, and I'm finding the congruence between those two things. When I'm consulting, helping organizations create the future, I'm helping them understand their past. I'm fostering congruence. When I'm coaching people, it's what I'm doing. When I'm parenting my kids, I'm fostering congruence in them as they create the future. Does that make sense? So that doesn't have to be sexy. It just has to be clear. Now, when I turn that to my life call, the way that I sit across the table for someone and talk about what I do is, you know, I exist, or I live, actually, to help the church become a change agent again. And then I develop that a little bit further and say, by training believers in wisdom and power. I believe the world operates in knowledge and skill, and the world believes the church operates in ignorance and incompetence, and I want to help the church operate in wisdom and power. In a world that's trading in knowledge and skill, I want the church to trade in wisdom and power. So you want to know what the life call that drives me is. Dave Rhodes lives to make the church a change agent again by training believers in wisdom and power. It's what I do. I wake up every day thinking about that. But the two words that give me radical simplicity are the words fostering congruence. My wife, she's about intentionalizing integration. She loves to help people create an integrated life and to do that in intentional ways. She's a kind of behind the scenes, but very intentional about everything she does and about helping other people do that. So she's intentionalizing integration, but the way that she says that to other people is Kim Rhodes lives to help people on their journey by making every moment matter. Making every moment matter. That's what she does. And she wakes up and she's amazing at it. But she's able to articulate that, and it runs through, intentionalizing integration runs through everything that she does. So that's the kind of specificity that we're looking for, not just kind of generic leading people or discipling others kind of thing. We're saying, no, how do you do those kinds of things? What is it inside of you in light of your passions, your abilities, and your context that you could articulate with a statement that would begin to give clarity? Now, again, you may not be able to get that in the next 10 minutes, but you can start that process. By the way, on the back of the sheet is a place where you can go down to get more description on this tool. If you go to the website, you can do that. But let's just take the next 10 minutes real quickly come up with at least 25 to 50 different combinations of your two words, all right? Your iPhone is your best friend? Yep. Your iPhone's your best friend. You can use a thesaurus on that just to think through it. Don't think quality right now. Just think quantity. We'll come back and work on quality. Finishing this sentence. You exist to honor God and help others by blanking blank. All right, we'll come back this way, and we'll just share some of these as well as just tell you a little bit about this experience. Most of the time, you know, you don't get 100% on both words right away. So, for instance, when I was doing this, I got to congruence and got to 100% pretty quickly on congruence. But that first word, it took me a long time. You know, it was establishing congruence at first. It's the best I can come up with. But that's about 70 to 80%. When we're taking people through the process, I want you to get above 80% on both words. But you can always circle back around to it. So for me, congruence got past 80% really quickly, but I went round and round and round. And even now, even, you know, I know what my life calls us. Even on this two words, I'm probably 90% on posturing. If another word came that better articulated that to me, I would substitute that out. But right now, the way we talk about it, the best I can articulate my life right now is that my two words, that Dave Rhodes exists to honor God and help others by fostering congruence. That's the best I can talk about my life internally to myself right now with the things that God's called me to do. So don't feel the pressure to nail it once and for all. You know, this is going to be a continual kind of process because we always want to get better at articulating. It's the way that we rule and reign. It's the way that we, you know, the way that we, instead of being captive, are empowered is in our articulation and naming things. So right now, the best I can name it is fostering congruence. Who has maybe some words that, Luke, share with us your words and then we'll get some other people. All right, so maybe just a couple people just tell us where are you at right now? I mean, you know, you might say I'm not 100% on these. You might be 60%. Here's the best I got right now in the 10 minutes you gave us, Dave. Here's what I got. Anyone want to play? Yeah. Nice. Love that. Never heard that before, just so you know. Never heard someone's two words. I mean, that's the whole unique part of this process. We believe there's a unique two words. Never heard contributing value that way. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. So in that vein, if I was coaching you, if we were going through a coaching session, I would go back into your context circle and say, people are ideas. Because pursuing hearts is more of a people statement. Intentionalizing design is more of an idea statement. And so I probably those two things, usually those things you have a one and a two kind of piece of that whole deal. So what if I just ask you between people and ideas, what drives you more? Yeah. That's starting to sound a little bit more like people are your secondary and idea. You want to help them discover an idea, but you're not just simply, I mean, you're people, they just like being with people, not just helping them discover an idea. They just want to be around people, connect to people, get to people. Yeah. Luke, anything that you would add into that conversation? Is it ideas through people or people through ideas? Anyway, if I was coaching, I'd love to spend a lot more time on that, just refining that. But it sounds to me like you're about 80% of the way there. So we're just looking for that last 20%. Anyone else? Yeah.
The one that I came up with was constructing breakthrough.
Mm, love that.
Yeah.
Why constructing?
Well, I like building things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tools I like helping to build people and build teams. And like I'm a worship leader and a creative person.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of, you know, constructing and creating, but I love to see people have personal breakthroughs, mm-hmm. to gain new skill sets, discover more of who they are.
Yeah.
And I also want to become a counselor someday. So I see that, you know, similar to what you shared.
Yeah.
I see the connection.
Yeah, so if again I'm just gonna just jump into a coaching moment, that's all right. Yeah. So constructing breakthrough. You know, you're talking about the things. Tell me about a word like architecting breakthrough. Does that push you away or pull you further in?
It kind of pushes me away.
Okay, why? Because
too formal.
Too formal? Okay, great. Okay, great. It's,
I don't know.
That's the kind of thing I'm looking for. If I'm coaching you, I'm going to press on. I'm going to say why? Because I'm going to bring out of you the language that's so deep in you that you haven't pressed to yet. So you say, no, architect's not the word. Constructing's more the word because it's more about people. Okay, tell me how constructing goes with people.
Yeah.
Tell me. I mean, let's just have a little conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Is that all right? Is that what you want to play? All right, good.
Yeah.
So tell me about that whole constructing. Yeah.
That's very, very accurate. Yeah.
I'm also interested in that last word you said, which is fits, in regard to what I'm wondering if fits is what is the way that you would describe breakthrough. Like when someone finds something that fits them.
Oh.
Is that the way that you would describe breakthrough?
Like if breakthrough is the right word for...
Yeah, no, I think it's the general word that you're going for, but I want to know, how does Ashton describe breakthrough? Like what does that look like? Is discovering fits saying something that just... it's something even more specific than constructing breakthrough. I'm not trying to place those words on you in any kind of way, but I'm just saying... the process helps to really drive that out, yeah, because I want to know whether it is constructing breakthrough or discovering fits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and again, this isn't, you know, it has to be sexy. It just has to be, hey, you know, when you're at your best, when you're helping people discover their fit.
Yeah.
I mean, and you do that with, you know, your kids, and you do that with your worship team. You can do that. It's big enough to cover every area of your life and small enough to be laser-like focus. That's when you know you're there. So I can foster congruence in every area of my life, but I also know, I mean, I could take a job, two job opportunities, and say, which one am I going to get the foster congruence more in? Does that make sense, guys? You guys get that? All right, so here's the last move I want to make, and I would love to spend more time on this, but last move that we make is we start taking your two words and help you turn it into six words and eventually 12 words. Now, all these limitations are artificial constructs to spur on your creativity. There's no creativity without frustration or limitation. If you want a TED Talk on this, it's great. It's called Embrace the Shake. I don't know if you've ever seen Embrace the Shake. This guy gets a little tremble in his hand, and he's afraid it's going to ruin his art, and his doctor looks at him and says, what if you just embrace the shake? And so now he does all of his art with the shake. Yeah. He does all of his art with the shake in his hand. He's done all these amazing things. But what he said is, when he was just looking at a blank canvas, he never knew what he was supposed to paint. And so by embracing this limitation, it's changed everything. And now he puts other limitations on himself. So if he's looking at a blank canvas, he doesn't know what to paint. But give him my arm, because it's a limitation, he immediately has ideas. So what we're doing as we move this is placing some artificial limitations on you to stimulate creativity. So what we do is we play the Hemingway game, where we say, all right, you got six words to articulate your calling, not your life story with that thing that we talked about earlier, but six words. I usually give people 6 minutes for six words, 6 minutes for six words to articulate your life call. So my six words life call is making the church a change agent again. A hyphenate change agent, just so you know how to get away with that. but making the church a change agent again. My wife's helping people make every moment matter. For six words. From there, from the six words, we then give you six more words to fill that out to 12 words. But we play with those constructs to increase your creativity. So just take a couple minutes right now to try and take your two words and come up with six words, and it's got to be exactly six words, all right? Can't be seven words, can't be five words. This is just going to stretch your creativity to make you, what's that?
Sorry, not including those.
Yeah, no, not including those. All this is assumed, exist, honor God, and help others by, not including the two words, yep. You're turning these two words into six words that now you would articulate to someone else. Yep, totally. They could be the same. You could use these two words. It just depends on how these two words sound. Mine, I never would. But other people, they do. So just take a couple minutes to come up with six words. All right, I hate to cut us off. We're right at time, all right? But you can work on these things. Can I read you some people that would help through the process? Just give you some celebration moments, and to just maybe release your imagination. So Rebecca is one of the girls on my team that led through this. In her narrative, she, one of the names that was placed over her at a young age, someone called her stupid. And we worked through all that kind of stuff, and God spoke into her life. Her one thing is reconstructing wholeness. And so here's the way she talks about that. Rebecca lives to turn reluctant strangers into resilient believers and families who live in truth. That's her life goal. And you know what? She's the hospitality director at her church, and that's exactly what she does. She does that all the time. Aaron, who's an optometrist that I read through, that I led through this process, Aaron's one thing is illuminating clarity. That's what he does, illuminating clarity. And here's the way he talks about it. It's like Aaron lives to help people see both physically and spiritually. That's what he does. Very simple. That's just, but every day he wakes up with that. Rachel, who's a counselor, she was on my team. Her one thing or two words were shepherding renewal. Shepherding renewal, those are two words. Here's the way she talks. Rachel exists to shepherd renewal by helping people shift from desperate hunger to delivered wholeness in Christ. Boom. That's what she wakes up and does every day. Caleb, who made a job transition in the middle of this process. He was working at a Christian school, is now an executive pastor. His one thing is cultivating growth. Here's the way he talks about that in regard to his calling. Caleb lives to confidently create tomorrow by courageously confronting today. You can hear his name, Caleb, you know, about wholehearted and courage and that kind of, you can hear all that stuff. It's all, he's been through the process, all worked into it. And he wakes up every day with clarity and meaning and is able to name the things that God's placed in his heart. I wish we had him in the room because these guys would just tell you just about the change that has created in them. So, all to say, we just dipped our toe into the process a little bit. But my hope is at least you got introduced to a couple creative pathways that can begin, even if you never talk to us again, can begin to bring exponential clarity to your life. So I hope that's been helpful for you. If you want more, again, there's some free tools you can download from Your Life, Your Call, /expo. It's on the back of your sheet there. Or if you want to contact us, yourlifeyourcall.com. We have cohorts you can go through. We have intensives you can be about. We love training pastors in this process and certifying them because our number one strategy is to certify pastors so they can offer this to their people at a price value that's amazing, just for the price of the book or whatever you want to charge on it. We certify the pastors. Our whole goal is to certify pastors or leaders, and we're only doing this through places that we have certified people. And so we're certifying people, but the whole goal is we're taking the church and moving it from just being a teaching center to a training center, and we're trying to put breakthrough processes in pastors' hands to demonstrate value for ordinary people who couldn't afford to do a huge life planning piece and do that. We want the church to be the delivery system for helping create productivity in the world and that kind of thing. So anyway, that's a little bit about who we are. If you want more on that, I'm Dave. Again, you can go to yourlifeyourcall.com. You can email me there. This is Luke, who can help you as well. We'd love to continue the conversation with you. Thank you guys so much for being here today, being part of that.